Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. And I am Ted Santos, and always riding on this journey with me is my co-host, Blair Nash. Let him know you're in the house, Blair.
Did you call me Blaine?
Blair, who's Blaine?
Did I hear you call me Blaine?
You know Blaine? I don't know Blaine.
Like, oh, you send you my name. No, what's up, everybody? Hope everyone's having a good weekend
hey.
So far. Thank you for listening in.
Hey, man, you must not be using, you must not be on an iPhone. That's your headset. That's what it is. You're going to have to switch over to an iPhone, man.
I said I got hearing issues, huh?
Nah, it's just the Android thing going on.
Is that what it is?
So what's
you trying to make an old joke on the slide? Is that what it is? Like, we got
I
jokes.
Do that
like,
I got
Bolo jokes, Ted. If you want to go get going now.
Nah, I wouldn't mess with you, man. You know, I'm gentle as a lamb, just like everyone in our group knows. So,
yeah,
who are just joining us for the first time, this is Straight Talk with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. We are the talk show that addresses some of the most provocative topics in relationships. And this show was made for men by men, and our primary focus is really to have the male's perspective, except ladies, you won't want to miss it, because this is the best place in the world to get a really raw perspective from men, really understand what men think with, like, in an uninhibited way to hear men talk. And it's helpful for us when you engage us, because we really can't function in this world with one side point of view. So we encourage the ladies to call in. And this show in particular is going to be for sure a man's show. And the ladies will want to hear it. And fellas, I encourage you to call in, because this guy we're going to have as a guest, I don't know if the stars lined up or the goddess Athena was by his side every day of his life. He has some incredible stories, and we'll get into that in a second. But Blair, I'm going to be quiet and let you say something before you start making some jokes about me.
No, I wouldn't do that. First of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone who keeps continuing to listen into the show. The show is still extremely popular. We have several hundred listeners each week, and I just want to say, to all of you out there, thank you so much for allowing us to kind of have that listenership. As Ted mentioned, we have a group that we created on Facebook called Straight Talk, and essentially, if you're interested, inbox either myself or Ted, and we'll get you in. And I want to clear something up before we kind of get started with the show, because we kind of had a little bit of, some infractions over the past several days and everything. And one of the things I want to make very clear is we have had literally decades where men have not had a forum and a venue with which to speak about certain things. We've had different outlets for women, and this was one of the first times that men have had a unfiltered, uncensored outlet, kind of what I call barbershop talk, pool hall talk, where the fellas just, not with women around, but what fellas really, really talk about when it becomes uncensored, behind closed doors type of environment. Think of the conversations that how they're different when you go to your office versus when you get home at 8 o'clock in the evening and you're sitting there with your family or your loved one or whomever. And think of how those conversations are drastically different than how they are when you go into your workplace. So this is the kind of conversation, and this is the kind of atmosphere that we have attempted to create with the whole Straight Talk podcast, with the whole Straight Talk chat room, etc. We wanted it to be something where people could come and, for men to come and have a dialogue and have discussions and not really be, not really be what we call shamed. The reason why we do that is because, again, men haven't had that. So for the women, yes, we love you to be there. We want you to, be there, ask questions, respectfully ask questions. but it is a show and it is a chat room that is particularly focused for men. And so that's why, you know, and I know there are a lot of women who kind of, well, why don't we get a chance to speak? Well, you know, think of it like going to, you know, to church on a Sunday. You don't get a chance to, you know, tell your pastor this is what we're going to talk about and how dare he not say what he wants to, you know, how dare he not speak a message. He invites you in. You have the freedom to listen. Or if you decide, you know what, I don't even like what he's saying, you can, you know, you can go to another church or just say, you know, I'm going to take the, you know, I'm going to take the meat and spit out the bones. So I really just wanted to kind of address it because it seems to be kind of an ongoing theme each and every time we have these discussions of, you know, what exactly is this room? Why do you not allow, why do you try to, you know, push women to the side and not allow them the chance to speak? It's not that we're not allowing women the chance to speak. It's just that you have to understand it is a room for men. Women are, you know, just like in, like you go to church or any other, you know, thing like that, you do, you're an observer. You're there to observe, to listen, to learn. You're not there to really have a back and forth agenda with the pastor. He's trying to teach you something that you may not know. If you don't think you want to know anything, if you don't want to think you have anything to learn, then that's okay too. So for the lady listeners that we have, and some of the things that happened over the weekend were, you know, kind of offensive. There were some things that were done, and I won't even go and, you know, bore you with all the details. But I will say that it is something that I think is very important for us to have, which are vehicles and an opportunity for men to speak unfiltered. And I think what's happening, and you and I have mentioned this as well, Ted, and I'll make this my last point, is that I think a lot of women are, to use your word, Ted, shell-shocked in the things that they're hearing. Because when they go into the majority of other groups, you know, the things that they hear are how just wonderful women are and how just majestic and everything. And women can be, and there are a lot of women who are that. But I think what's happened is men have started to kind of see some things and learn some things. And so what's happened is they're like, oh, really? Wow. I didn't know that about, you know, a lot of our women out here. And so what they've done is it's kind of like a puzzle. They've taken pieces of a puzzle and they put it together and said, oh, my, we have a lot of work that we need to do. And no, us as black men, we're not the screw-ups and mess-ups and the scrubs that we've been made out to be for decades. So, like I said, I just wanted to address that because it seemed to be kind of a ongoing kind of conversation that was happening where women felt that they were being kind of pushed to the side. It's not being pushed to the side. It's we are here to – we're, you know, we have fun, we laugh, but we're also here to educate and to show, you know, mostly women, but show men and have a dialogue with men that can kind of get us onto the next step. So I just wanted to put that out there and, you know, address that real quick.
Yep. No, you're saying something valuable. I mean, you know, you look at – you and I talked about how Oprah is really big on being supportive of women and the – challenges women face in love, career, and money. Even Steve Harvey is really, you know, in support of women. Wendy Williams, we can go on with all the shows. But we really haven't created the proverbial man cave where it's a cave. And it's not that men are brutal cavemen, but you know what? No, that's a lie. We are. We are a lethal, brutal animal, and we just are. Our biology has made us that more aggressive, and we have that little bit of extra physical strength. Some of us have a lot more physical strength than women. And there's a way we like to express that. You can just watch boys in a playground when they're about 10 years old, and I mean, hey, man, I went to a private school where I had to wear a suit and tie every day, and we were out on a playground on a tar pavement playing tackle football, man. Not on grass, on tar. I mean, well, so you'd go home with ripped pants, and with the girls, we're not playing like that. So we are a little bit lethal and rough in the way we physically engage and even with the way we speak to one another. So
And let me just interject. let me just interject and take it back to a real hood spot. You remember playing in, literally on the street in between cars, playing football and everything, and just, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, when you take it back to the real hood. So, yeah.
Blair, I'm talking about we're in suit and ties playing tackle.
Right.
And we were not playing
two-hand touch. You ain't
going to
be doing that.
We were playing tackle on tar pavement,
right,
man, and falling on your head and your face and cat. I mean, we were, you know. So I'm saying that to say men haven't had this sort of cave for them to just be themselves and not feel ashamed for feeling assertive or aggressive. And it's not that we're directing anything negative at women. A big part of it is we want to be acknowledged. And I had a conversation with the woman in our group, and when I first laid something out, she kept saying, well, men do this, and men do, and people need, and there was absolutely no acknowledgement of what I was saying. And when we finally got to an acknowledgement, it was amazing how then we were actually able to talk and then to talk about, well, what are some solutions? But it's hard to talk about a solution if you can't even get the other person to hear what you're saying because they are deflecting and defending and throwing stuff back at you. And I think that's maybe has been one of the big things men have dealt with in relationships. Is if you say, hey, honey, when you do this, I don't need that. I don't like when you do this. Or I'd like you to do this. The woman starts telling you about all these things you've done. And what you were saying, the original point, disappears because she's now angry and crying and all this. So men have learned to just shut up. And then it becomes, well, men don't communicate what they want. Yes, they do. They do.
Right.
So here we are. Where we have a platform where men can actually talk, and we have a guest this evening with a guy who's going to, I'm going to say, tell all. His name is Mercy, and I don't know if we can get him on the line.
He is at least from the number that you showed me. He has not actually got on the. He has not called in as of yet, but we'll get him on the line. So.
Okay.
Yeah, if you wanna shoot him a message real quick or whatever. I know you said he's right around, you know, he's right there. So, but yeah, he's not on the line. But real quick, let me do a couple things. First of all, our calling number is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We already have about four callers on hold, and I promise you, we're gonna get right to you. So if you can just you know, hold the line with it and everything, and we'll be right to you. Real quick, because we kind of got a little bit sidetracked and talked about some other things, kind of housekeeping topics, our title for our show this evening is Can You Date Gold Diggers Without Spending Money on Them? And this, we knew this was going to be kind of a controversial title because Ted and I, when he came up with the original title, I was like, man, you can't say that. There ain't no way you can say that. We got too many people that would be like, you know, turned off and, you know, looking at the side to us and everything. And, you know,
let's not even put that title on the table. Let's just act like it never existed.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, we weren't even going to go there. But like Ted mentioned, we have a gentleman, and I believe he's actually called in now, so we can get him on the line.
Okay.
Again, for the callers who are on hold, please stay on hold. I promise you we're going to come to you. I promise. That's my word. So just hang tight, and we're going to get to you. But I do want to bring our guest in, and he is all the way calling from the – beautiful state of California. And Ted, you want to do the honors.
Yep. So we have our guest. His name is Mercy. Mercy lives in California. I'll let him tell you a little about him. But what I found amazing was it's not so much the dating the gold diggers. It's like this is a guy, when you talk about a ladies' man, there's a special touch. And I think I just wonder if men, us as men, if we miss, either we miss cues or we're missing on what women really want. So that's, you know, the title was about Can You Date Gold Diggers Without Spending Money. So if it's not, if he's able to do that, then what is it that he's actually offering to women that is more valuable than money, especially if the woman is what you would classify as a gold digger? So I think he could shed light on that. And I think he can be instrumental in helping both men and women better understand. So we encourage people to call in and question him, but I think you'll be amazed by his story. Mercy, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, perfect. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us on this call and giving us some of your time.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I've been listening to your show for several weeks, and I'm definitely intrigued by the topic. There's nothing out there right now that is in this format, so I'm happy to put in my 2 cents, and maybe I can help a few people out there.
All right, perfect. So why don't you, give them a little background about yourself. What do you do for a living now, and then we'll cover the other stuff. So what do you do?
Well, I live in Venice Beach, California, and I work in the film industry. I've been involved with from top to bottom. Started as a PA and ended up in some of the larger independent companies, partnered with multiple companies, been involved with deals that accumulated. The biggest one was about $78 million. In a multi-picture deal, and that was with Warner Brothers, and worked with multiple stars, and actually have dated multiple actresses, but that's a pretty picture. But there's a time before all the success, and with no money, I was able to date what the women would self-describe themselves as gold diggers. They said, hey, some guys would call me a kind of a gold digger.
Mercy.
I would just chuckle it off.
Mercy, let me ask you a question. So is it fair to say you've dated a number of gold women who, as you said, classify themselves as gold diggers? Is it fair to say you've dated a number of women in that category?
Yeah, some of the women, you know, self-describe themselves as gold diggers. So,
okay. So
it wasn't my opinion of them. I was just happy for the company.
So is there a way, can you spot a gold digger across the room? Like, how do you know a woman's a gold digger? Like, so let's start. She's across the room, and then once you're engaged with her, how would you or any man know if a woman is really a gold digger?
But I'm not personally looking for gold diggers, but if they are, they find me, and then something clicks in them to turn their gold digging switch off, so to speak, and become just a regular operating female.
Okay, so you can't necessarily pick it up across the room.
No.
So here's another question. Have you only dated gold diggers? Have you dated women who are clearly not gold diggers?
Yes, I have. Being here in Hollywood at a young age, I arrived here at about age 20, and
okay.
I dated everything from a woman who works at a grocery store to who works the front desk at a gym to actresses to attorneys to on-air news anchors.
Okay.
And on-air news anchors and actresses I didn't have any success in the business. In fact, I was just barely entering at that point. And I had girlfriends that were on air.
Look, Ted, if I can interject real quick.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me do this again. I want to remind the callers that have called in. I'm going to get to your call here in just a few moments. The calling number is 323-642-1387. The people who are already on hold, stay on hold. I promise I'm going to get to you. So, Mercy, I don't know how well or how much you know about
you know, about different authors or anything, but there's an author, his name is Michael Basedon, and he's kind of a known, kind of a relationship guru. Think of it kind of like a Hitch. He goes and talks, and he has books out, et cetera, et cetera. And he's been in the industry probably about maybe 10 to 12 years now. And I remember reading his book. The first book was called Something Maintenance Man. I can't remember the exact term, the exact title, but it was about being a maintenance man.
Right.
And essentially what he said in the book was, you know, and he says he's dated a lot of different women in the, you know, in the entertainment industry. Essentially what his role was, you know, he was in shape, you know, nice looking guy, handsome, looked good in a suit, et cetera, et cetera. And what he would do is, for $2,000 a night, he would pay $2,000. That was just a fee. That wasn't other expenses. But for $2,000 a night, he would be somewhat of an escort, male escort. You know, he had the look, he had the talk, he had the walk that women want when they go to these extravagant events. And he said he did very well at it. You know, kind of, you know, slept with a few of them, did whatever. Is that kind of in the realm and in the lane of where we're seeing that you, of what you do?
No, not at all. I wish I knew of a service like that. I probably would have acted on it. No. I was just a guy who was out in the world doing me, and these are just ladies that I had stumbled across, that I've come across in Los Angeles.
Okay.
That's what's possible.
All right, cool. Cool. So
Jake,
do you mind if I hop to a call real quick?
Yeah, let me ask him one question. Can you just give us a quick scenario of how you ended up meeting a woman who's a gold digger and she turned off the gold digger? Just can you give us a quick story before we bring on a caller?
Okay. I met this woman at a gym, and I've had seen her there for a while. Obviously a gorgeous woman, and we start talking to each other, and at the time I was not even in the business, and in the film business anyway, and she took a liking to me, and we went out on a few dates, and she eventually came back to my place, and she said, based on my persona and the way I just handled her, she thought I lived in a mansion somewhere, and I just lived in an apartment in Santa Monica. And she just, I guess I exuded confidence. And then she said, well, you know, I'm kind of, people would describe me as a bit of a gold digger. And after a few dates, she actually started asking me what size jacket I was, what size shoes I wore, because she was going to have some guy that she was gold digging go shopping for me and just say it was for her father.
And wow.
That's what happened. And
I'm never buying another thing for a woman ever again. Shoot, man. Lord. Okay. All right.
I was a young guy back then. Now I'm a little old.
That
things like that aren't
that hurt my soul. That hurt my soul, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. Wow. Can you imagine sitting there and somebody goes, you know, that was actually for her little side dude, and just the egg that would be on your face from that. Man, oh man. I tell you. Crazy. All right, so let's jump to our first caller. We're going to go to area code 404. 404, you are live and on the air. 404. Are you there?
Okay.
We're going to skip to the next caller. We're going to go to area code 347, I think. Hold on. Okay, 347, you're live and on the air.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tina Marie, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Tina.
Oh, hey.
How are you? Thanks for calling.
Oh, anytime. You know that said anytime. Good evening, Blair, and good evening to the gentleman that's on the call. It's a very interesting topic, gentlemen. Very interesting. And in that line, what would you call the woman? And this is directed to the guest speaker.
Mercy.
Yeah, Mercy. Oh. I believe his name is.
Mercy. Yes.
Mercy. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Mercy. Nice meeting you. I have a question. I mean, she's saying she was a gold digger, but it sounds more she was getting some sort of benefit, and this is not judgmental to any of you, because wouldn't then she be classified as your sugar mama? Because she wasn't taking money from you, per se. She was taking it from another gentleman who she was being a gold digger towards, and then being your sugar mama because you were reaping the benefits of the money she was spending on you, which you may or may not ask for. It was totally gifts, and I could understand that. I just need a clarification from a gentleman's point of view.
Yeah, I never asked for any of it. Wasn't interested. She just had interest
in... No, but what
in...
I'm saying...
She had interest in becoming closer with me and seeing what she could do for me.
Right, because Mercy was your sugar mama.
That's in your opinion, but she never said that, and I never said that. Sugar mama never came to mind at the time. So it was someone who was
okay.
interested in doing something
but,
nice for.
I mean,
she let me know that she. Putting me above him, the guy who was buying everything, so.
Okay, I mean, yes, it is my opinion, but what I'm saying is we're classifying gold, we're, you know, trying to get clarity on gold diggers, and then you're saying she was a gold digger towards another man, and you're reaping
right.
that benefit. Of course you're not going to say no. And she was virtually, if you were going to use titles, gold diggers and such, then she was your sugar mama. That's all. I'm just making an observation.
Oh,
okay.
That's a nice observation. I take that as a compliment, but that wasn't her goal or mine at all. I was not interested, and she, I paid my own rent and had my own money. I didn't need a sugar mama. And
you being that's a great thing. But I'm just saying where we're going to have titles as such. Gold diggers or sugar mamas, that's what she was, a gold digger to someone else, and I don't know the woman.
Right.
And I, you know, right. hope the ways have changed, but she was being, in its essence, wanting to
She was actually, if she wanted to, but she was actually a friend who went shopping for me. That's how it, friends buy friends gifts, don't they? So, hey, I didn't need, I wasn't looking for a sugar mama. The definition of a sugar mama is a little different. Guys actually go out and seek that. Girls are looking. Usually, older women are looking for guys to provide that for. This woman was about
right.
my age. She was about my age, maybe 2 years younger. My age, to me, 2 years older. My age.
Okay.
So there was no sugar
momming
going on at all. This is a very, very beautiful young lady. Both in our 20s.
I appreciate the clarity.
Both in our 20s. So there was no
Thank
sugar
you.
Momming going on. There's a 27,
Thank
25
you.
Age. Difference, you know, 2 year age difference.
Well, thank you for the clarity. And gentlemen, Blair and Ted, thank you for this type of show, for the awareness and the understanding.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And one more thing, I'm sure a lot of guys would sign up for a 27-year-old sugar mama. I don't think it really exists.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Unless the guy is, you know, much, much younger.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a drastic age difference. I don't think 27 is the sugar mama age.
Sometimes it can be.
No, that's the latest thing. I'm sure there's lots of young guys who are willing to accept it.
To me, when I think, and I might be wrong in my you know, assessment in this, but I think when you think of a sugar mama, you're right, Mercy. I mean, you think of someone who's a little bit older, maybe, you know, late 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, who still kind of has it, but she may not have it to the level where she can kind of secure the type of man that she wants to. So basically what she does is she uses her resources as a way to kind of lure that man in, whether she's like, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll give you a quick illustration. There was a young lady, and this was about 10 years ago, who I dated, and I'm not anywhere near your level, Mercy, but she had offered to buy me a truck. She was like, I'll buy you an Escalade. I'm like, what do you mean you're just going to buy? Who do you think you are? You know, and so what she was doing was trying to buy my affections. Now, of course, once I started driving my Escalade, no, I didn't get the Escalade, everybody. I didn't get it. I didn't take it. So, but what I'm essentially saying is there are women out there, and she's a nice looking sister. Don't get me wrong. She's a very attractive young lady. But because they can't get a type of guy that they want, what they do is they lure him in with treatments, with, you know, I'll do this, and I'll take you here in this situation, I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, so did somebody break in?
Mercy, is that you? You've got noise in the background?
It was a motorcycle.
Right.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, there's a certain way that that a lot of those women operate. Like I said, they might be attractive women who don't really have the ability to get and secure the type of man that they want just by their looks and by their personality. And so their money is another way to kind of have men be interested in them. Because who wouldn't want to go on a nice vacation, all expenses paid? Who wouldn't want to have a car bought for them or clothes bought for them? You know, we're all people who like nice things, every last one of us. So,
right.
I think that's kind of the lane that he was speaking of.
Yeah, and also this girl was, I mean, she had her own success, but she was an actress, and she would often guest star on Married with Children, but by no means was she, you know, Roland and Adele. She just had access to go shopping on someone else's dime, and she acted upon it.
Right.
Without my request.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question. I want to jump to another call here in just a second, Mercy. And I don't know, you know, your situation, like your age or anything, and I mean, do you have to share that, but how long have you been kind of in this realm of dating the kind of women that you have, where you just kind of like, you know, been able to kind of sidestep gold diggers and still date them? How long have you been doing that?
Well, that's not what I'm doing now at all, but this is something that was happening prior to my success in the film industry. And and then just as I moved along in life, my scenarios would allow me to just be with a certain type of woman who often self-describe themselves as a, like I said, a gold digger, or a certain demeanor, a certain way, and what they do, or men give them money for various things and favors. Then I'm positioned to be around them and grace their presence without spending any money.
Okay.
I mean,
so what?
For instance,
go ahead. For instance, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for instance, in the past, in the mid '90s. I lived in a home that Johnny Depp currently lives in now, and I was there for 2.5 years. I mean, it's an old house built by Rudolph Valentino originally in 1921, and it has a lot of Hollywood history. Even Charles Manson resided there for a little while in the 60s. But fast forward to now, Johnny Depp is there. But while I was there, if I was out at a club or a restaurant and met a nice lady, I would just tell her my address. I live north of Sunset, gave her the address, and north of Sunset in Los Angeles means, you know, a multi-million-dollar home. This is actually a 4-acre property. You can probably Google Earth it now. It's Johnny Depp's home, where it is now. And, I mean, it's eye-popping. The giant wrought iron rusted gates and that were 10-foot tall and has a lot of history. Like I said, even the Wizard of Oz, part of the Wizard of Oz was shot there back when it was being shot in 1937. But when girls came there, they just lost their minds. In fact, we often hosted parties. We would rent the house out to Paramount Pictures and different divisions of Paramount, different studios, and there would be ladies there, and I would appear at the party, and they would say, "Well, you live here?" And I would say, "Yes," and suddenly there was a whole lot going on based on my answer, yes, and giving them a little tour of the house, and it was
cool.
It was 20 years ago, and it was definitely beneficial to a young male if you're into, beautiful women.
All right, cool. Let me try to jump to another call real quick. Again, the call-in number is 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We are going to go to another area code 404. 404, you are live and on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good evening.
Hey.
All right, who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Jeffrey Snell.
Hey,
Ted, how you doing, bro?
All right, and yourself?
I'm doing okay this evening, guys. Getting ready for the game coming on tonight.
I know. We're going to have to end it right at 8:30 because I know the fellas are going to want to check out the Raptors and the Warriors. So I'm not even going to try to make that decision of trying to, do I listen to Ted and Blair or do I, nah, we're going to end right at 8:30. So, yeah, you're 100% right. So, on that note, Jeffrey, thank you for coming in. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
ATL, cool. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I was listening to Blair and heard what he said about that young lady that borrowed money from her sugar daddy in order to buy the other guy something. That was just like a major, major turn off to me. I mean, why would you want somebody like that? She did that to that guy. She'd turn right around and do it to you,
Well,
and
he wouldn't do it to her because he ain't putting no money out. So he can't do that. She can't do that to him. That's part of that.
I would totally be turned off by that young lady because if she did have the opportunity to do it to you, she would. And that's a definite no-no right there. But this gold digger thing, I never really dated a girl that tried to do that to me. But if I did, as soon as I saw she was trying to do it, I would just probably cut her off or just turn around and try to play her, I guess.
May I interject, Jeffrey?
Go ahead.
You may be turned off now, but would you be turned off if you were 22?
Even if I was 22, I'm not trying to get played by no girl, and I'm serious. When I get a young lady or a woman that I'm trying to really be with in a relationship or something like that, I'm serious with mine. I'm all about my woman. But there was a time when I was in school when I was dating 2, 3, 4 girls at one time when I was young and dumb, But as far as when I, got to be old enough to really take dating seriously, I didn't play that gold digger. Ain't no girl going to be using me for anything. You know what I'm saying? And if I did find out she was trying to use me for something, I just turn around and I try to play her, get whatever I can get out of her before I totally cut her off if she was trying to play me. Or even going with somebody else and she's trying to go with me at the same time. That's, disgusting to me,
Mercy, maybe you can help us out, Mercy. What do you think? So that's kind of a leap for a woman to go from describing herself as a gold digger and actually taking money from men. And just as a quick side, Mercy, out of the women you've met, what's the most money? Or have you met any women who were like what you would quote as a successful gold digger, meaning that she was able to get more than just cars and jewelry and clothes. Like, she was able to get cash. Like, what's the most successful that you know of out of the women you've met?
A Russian playmate who showed me pictures of her home that someone bought her in Chicago, and then she took me to her home in Los Angeles that he also purchased for her in her name. And it was definitely, the home was definitely approximately $2.2 million back then, and that was about year 2000.
So that would be successful. So here's a woman who was able to get a guy to buy her a $2 million home, yet she's looking for nothing from you. For all the men, what do you think? And I heard you say confidence, but what do you think that you were providing, giving, making available to women that made them turn the gold digger off and just want to deal with you as a man?
Well, I kept myself, tried to keep myself in great shape. Definitely was in better shape back then. And simultaneously, I had an office on a studio lot, on Warner Brother lot. And I was able to work all day. I'm no stranger to 18, 15, and 18-hour days, you know, 5 days a week. And I would have the ladies come by and visit me there. And also, a lot of these women were actress models, and me being in my position and taking on my workload, I didn't have time at that point to go out any longer. I was no longer 22. And they would come by, and they were happy to visit, and they would actually bring food and wanted to sit with me while I worked.
So were any of them providing mentorship?
And they were just talking, discussing the business. It was more like a mentor and describing the business to them. They were happy to be there. You know, you get a pass on a lot. That could be, you know, intriguing to a young lady. It was to me before I had an office on a lot. I mean, that's how I got an office on the lot, just taking meetings and handshaking, meeting people. So I was doing what they were doing 10 years before them.
So you said mentorship. So you think you gave them like valuable support, like you helped make them better at whatever it is that they wanted. Like you were more valuable than money in some ways if they could have it. Successful career based on the mentorship you gave me.
It definitely turned into that. I hope so. You know, but some ladies definitely thanked me, and I definitely was able to get a few women who became friends in films. So,
wow,
that alone is worth it. It's a tough business, so I was able to get my friends in movies, and they definitely appreciated it.
Let me interject real quick and give our call-in number again. It's 323-642-1387. 323-642-1387. Real quick, and I want to jump to our next caller, but I want to ask you a question. So we kind of know California for being, you know, kind of what it is. It's kind of like a city where, you know, people are very liberal. You know, relationships are, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. When you were dealing with these women, was it a scenario where it was like, okay, this was for like a month and then I moved to the next one, or were these like pretty much almost relationships where you spoke with each other every day, week in, week out? Was it an extended type of thing, or was it just like, yeah, we kicked it for a month, 6 weeks, and then, you know, once she found out she couldn't, you know, get no gold out of me,
No, I try to stay in touch with human beings. I love people. And, for instance, the woman who I met at the gym who wanted to do the shopping for me, fast forward a few years later, I was invited to her wedding. She, by then, she was no longer 27. She was 34, so that's, you know, in touch for several years, and she was doing real estate, and she was selling two condos together, and the gentleman asked her if she came with the condo, and she said yes. He was about 60. She was 34, a billionaire, lives in Palm Desert, and she married him. I went to the wedding.
Wow. Wow. Well, that is interesting. Cool. So let me get to my next caller. We got area code 917. 917, you're live and on the air. 917.
Hi, this is Judith. I'm listening. Interesting, okay. Interesting topic. Enjoying the conversation.
Thanks
oh,
for listening,
thank you. Thank you. Where are you calling from, Judith?
Okay. New York City.
New York. Cool. So what are your thoughts? You said you've been listening. What are your thoughts on Mercy and kind of the life and reality that he's lived?
Well, it's pretty interesting. It seems like when he got connected to these women that they really saw him for who he was and they got some value from him, like his
right.
mentoring and it was almost that they appreciated what he
right.
had to offer. And so, they appreciated it, and that was their way of showing appreciation was to offer
uh-huh.
whatever they offered.
Yeah, there's an old saying that fair exchange is no robbery. So I think, you know,
right.
if you have a gentleman, and you know, we don't know you know what Mercy actually looks like, but if he's you know a handsome guy and he keeps himself in shape and he has that quote unquote look that a lot of women strive for and envy for a man to have, that then I think women say to themselves, well, you know, I've got expendable cash. You know, I've got, again, like I said, my life is nowhere near the level of Mercy, but I've had women who have tremendous cash and say, I'll take you here. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go nowhere with no dime, you know, go away. But it's a situation where I think that you have to understand that women see, you know, kind of like, well, this is a guy, you know, he has a certain look, and because I don't really have anybody around that has that, I got a lot of noise in the background. There you go. Thank you. If you have a scenario where you, as a woman, have resources and you can pay for a man, if let's say you go into Bahamas or let's say, you know, Brazil or whatever, and if you can pay the $1,500 to $2,000 for him to go and plane ticket and hotel and his expenses and it doesn't hurt you at all, why not? And now you can kind of get out the country and do this with a guy that you actually like, dig, and want to be with. Fair exchange is no robbery. So, you know, for people who might look at it and like, oh, he's, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because, you know, these are adults and, you know, this was not something where he, you know, propositioned himself to be something he was not. This is a man saying, you know what, I'm going to use my looks, my charm, and everything else, my connections and possibly, you know, the like you said, you have a office and all these other things and you had a great home and women kind of want to be connected and close to that. So, you know, I don't have any problems with it whatsoever. You know, it is what it is.
That's right. And I agree.
So what's your thoughts, Dan?
I was saying to you, the planets lined up with a goddess Athena was there. Maybe Mercy, you can help. If you're not spending money on this woman, what like your first date? What does that look like? Usually, if you're not even spending money, is it her spending it? You go in Dutch, or what does that first date look like typically?
Well, like I said, nowadays it's different. But early on, when I first arrived into Hollywood, before I was even in the business, I would ask women, who am I? I'm in Los Angeles. Everyone is trying to look good, feel good, work out, just take care of themselves. So, and I'm trying to take care of myself too. So I didn't want to spend time just sitting often. So I would ask the ladies if they want to go hiking, if I could integrate them into my world, and we can just kind of get to know each other while doing something that's beneficial to both parties. And pretty much 100% of the time, it was a yes. Cause especially if you're in Los Angeles, if you're chit-chatting in the little actress model community, it's a yes. Everyone wants to work out or go hiking or do something positive for themselves. And while hiking, hey, I would go on these
out to the outback on tough terrains. Often these ladies would get tired, so I would actually carry them. I remind you, at the time, when you say something beneficial, I did have I did fluctuate between an 8 and 10 pack back then, so I was in very good shape. Even had a 8 pack while I was I went from an 8 to a 6 while on the Warner Brothers lot. It was declining. So I was working so hard, but I would drop on the floor and do sit-ups. But nevertheless, I would do something physical with the ladies, hiking, and that often led to a dinner or something physical, like they wanted a massage after the hike. And that happened often as well. But I would just try to integrate them into my life and go for a hike. Hike leads to dinner as well. So we're friends. I never had any of these ladies buy me dinner or anything. I paid for all the dinner, so I was always interested in that. But that's pretty much how I went. I would ask them for, ask them if they want to go hiking. And
I want
a guaranteed yes.
I want to bring Ted in here in just a second, but the lady, I believe you said your name was Judith. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And so, Judith, and I'm going to ask you just a few questions. If you don't want to answer, that's fine. Are you single, married?
I'm divorced.
Divorced, okay. Single. So, and I don't know your age, and that's really not even important right now. But my question to you is has there ever been a time in your life where you have, and I'm going to put this word in kind of a fancy way, sponsored a man where you pretty much knew that, maybe his situation, maybe he was in college, maybe he was kind of, a guy who was a creative type of individual and he hadn't quite hit yet, and so he's kind of, coming up, and you're like, my situation is pretty fly, so let me go ahead and, he needs a car, I'm going to buy him a car. He wants to go on a vacation with me, I'm going to finance his vacation. Was there ever a period in your life, maybe it was your ex-husband, I don't know the situation, was there ever a period or point in your life where you financed / sponsored another individual to do something?
Yes, my ex-husband.
Okay.
He's an artist. He's a well-known African-American artist here in New York. And
mm-hmm.
when we were married, he would get contracts. Art contracts. He was one of the first artists to do the spray art, and he would get
mm-hmm.
commission. So there would be period of time where he wasn't working, and for months, like 4 or 5 months, and then he would get a commission. So it was really about partnership.
Okay. All right. Okay, cool. So, I just wanted to ask because, we kind of look at a situation like with Mercy and we say, wow. And I've always said that there's two different lives that I think people live. There's the life they live on social media and there's the life that they live when they turn their computer off in the evening. And I can honestly say that I know that there are a lot, and I will emphasize, a lot of women who do financing for individuals. I know women who have paid for their own wedding rings. I know women who have paid for men's cars, done all that. I know women who have done all kinds of things, taken men and paid for, I know women who have just given men money. I used to do something. There was a series I have for anyone who's followed me for a period of time, and it was called Single of the Week. And what I would do, basically what it was, is I would feature successful African-American male and female people all across the country. And there was a particular gentleman, surprisingly, he also lived in California, lives in California, surprisingly. And he was one of my singles that I had featured. And what he did was he texted me a canceled check of one of the young ladies who he had actually met via my Single of the Week, and the check was for $2,500, and she hit him with that literally every month, and she was like, he was like, this is what your friend says. I was just astounded. I said, so she sends you $2,500 every month. Now, this is one of the same women who gets on social media and, you know, these men, this is how they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a lot of times, just to kind of give women an understanding, this is why a lot of times men look at women and say, okay, yeah, sure, you never do that. You never do none of these things or these other that a lot of these women out here are doing. You don't finance men, huh? Got it. Okay. And I just think it's a very good conversation to have to let people see that it's not as, you know, odd a thing. You know, Mercy is probably just in a situation where he's doing it in California and he's probably, you know, meeting, like you said, celebrities and stars. So his is a little bit more, has a little bit more sexiness to it, if we want to use that word. But I think that when you talk about regular, average, everyday people who live in Indiana or Ohio or Savannah, Georgia, there's tons of women who do that, who basically finance men's lives, and, you know, they don't want to be, you know, judged for it, so, of course, they don't tell anybody. But it happens almost every day. So I'm sure, Ted, I'm sure you probably know scenarios. Mercy, I'm sure you know other gentlemen like yourself who could tell you stories of, yeah, you know, this woman paid for my whole, you know, vehicle or paid my whole, all of my student loans off or what have you. I've definitely been
hurt story, yeah. And I've been offered cars myself. Never took.
Yeah, I've had women who, I mean, I've had women who walk with me a lot. I've had women who, like, I will pay for you to go to school. This is hand to God. They're like, I'll pay for you to go to school. And so this is where I don't think a lot of women, and this is also, and I'm gonna be quiet after this. This is where I think also for a lot of women where it becomes hard, because a lot of us as men, we have women that have done so many things for us that when you go to a woman who doesn't do those things, you're looking at her like, well, you ain't going to pay, you ain't going to do it. Okay, well, she ain't talking about no bread, so I'm going to go find me a, you know, bra with some bread and everything. So, Mercy, I believe me when I say I truly understand your situation, and I don't look at it as a usury scenario because, again, to use that scenario, that phrase, fair exchange is no robbery. So I definitely understand where you're at, brother.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts, Ted?
You hear all kinds of stories about people who are really successful and how they work as partnerships. So, like what Judith described, partnerships. Her ex-husband is well known. So if you overlook that, you probably may be overlooking building a relationship with someone. It's always just one-sided. When I put this title out today, can a man date a woman without spending money? There were women who responded by saying, hell no, you know, that's his responsibility. Being cheated, you know, like it's irresponsible. So I'm just always surprised to hear that in the 21st century of women saying they want to be able to do everything a man does.
Right. You're absolutely right.
I hear you,
Mercy, Ted. Go ahead, Mercy. I'm sorry.
No, it was Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, my
mom. I said, yeah, Ted, that's news. That's news to me too, Ted. Women saying they're gonna pay. I know when I was coming up, when I went out with a young lady always expected me to pay for everything, in which I really did. Dinner and a movie. I was dreaming of a day where one day I'd ask a young lady out and pay for dinner, and she'd say, "Oh, I'll pay for the movie." You know what I mean? I was longing for a day like that. Then I know that she wasn't just with me to milk me. And
right.
Yeah, so hearing these ladies out here trying to buy you cars and trying to take you on vacations, where are those ladies? I'm ready for all that. I'm all in.
I want to get shows. I mean, for myself, you know, I'm in a situation now where, you know, I wouldn't do those things and everything, but I definitely understand the energy and kind of, you know, the times when I was doing that, I'm a drastically different individual now than I was even 8-10 years ago. So, but yeah, a reality is a reality. So, I definitely understand it. Let me ask you this, Mercy. I know you mentioned that it's been multiple women that you've dated. Have you ever got any sort of pushback or blowback from women, whether it was the women that you dated, whether it was women, maybe like, you know, women, like ladies, like just female friends, who was like, that's so raggedy of you. Why would you use a woman like that? Why would you let some, you know, why would you let some chick buy you shoes and everything? Have you gotten any sort of pushback from women? Because, and let me just say this before you answer. I think what, one of the things also, I think, and one of the reasons why we created this Straight Talk show, is because I think men are starting to finally speak out on what we see is the hypocrisy that a lot of women have, in that when a guy is like, you know, we want equal, but then it's like, oh, you want equal, okay, you want everything to be equal, and it's like, well, only equal to a point though, and I think that's where men just kind of look at women and say you can't have it both ways. That's not how our world operates. You know, if you want to be equal, then understand that that means that if there's a guy and he looks great and there's a woman that's sitting over there and she's like, you know, hey, you know, he's great looking, I want to have him on my arm and I want to go up in the club and have this, you know, 6'3" Adonis and have him parade through the club and have the girls jealous, then if she wants to do that, if she wants to finance his lifestyle, where's the problem? Because this is something that women have been doing for eons. But for some reason, when it's a man that actually, you know, is able to use his whatever, his looks, his charm, his intelligence to basically extract resources from a young lady or older or just a woman, period, all of a sudden it's a problem. So I just wanted to kind of find out from you, Mercy, if there's been any sort of pushback or whatever from other women where they've like, you know, that's raggedy of you to do that. Has that happened?
Oh, no, it has
not
happened.
Are you there, Mercy?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm here.
There you
no,
go.
It has not happened. I've had no pushback.
Okay.
First of all, that was never my goal to do that. Women that I have met and dated actually ask you to take them shopping. I've never asked a woman to take me shopping. They say to me, "When are we going shopping?" So I've been asked that many times.
Okay. Okay.
But, I've never had any blowback from that scenario. I've never asked this woman to do anything for me. And in fact, I've had women offer me cars as well, but I never acted upon that. But
right.
Hey, it's what's wrong with that? If a young guy doesn't have a car or is kind of raggedy, and a girl who, let's say a lady who makes $750,000 a year, wants to buy him a little car for $15,000, it's and they're dating. Hats off to him. Let him move on. I know if the shoe was on the other foot, and a group of ladies knew that their girlfriend had no car and her boyfriend bought her a car, everyone would be all about it.
Right. Do you think that that's because of the way that our society is set up, where we frown upon the idea of a woman sponsoring, financing, whatever, taking care of another man? Do you think that that's where that comes from?
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that's typically usually a knock that a lot of women use on men. The first, when a woman gets mad at you, you know, they're going to go to a certain list of things. They're going to call you broke. They're going to say your penis is little. They're going to say you're gay. That's pretty much the trifecta of what women use when they try to. And so they want to kind of like, why can't you get your thing on here? I'm like, I could, but you know, if somebody gives you a Benz versus, you know, you having to work 3 years to go and purchase a Benz, I mean, that ain't even hard. Why would you not want to have somebody say, hey, here's the keys, you know,
happens to ladies every day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's my point, is we live in kind of a world where I think we believe that you know, men should kind of come up on their own. And there is some truth to that. There is truth to that. Men should pull, you know, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. However, if you look at the totality and the reality of how our world is, most people who actually, you know, there's an old saying I'm sure you heard, wherever there's great fortune, there's a great crime. And most people who actually have true wealth didn't get it by simply working hard and getting up at, you know, 6:15 every morning, work at 8 o'clock at home. No, that's not how most people got their wealth. They got it from some other measure. So I guess, like I said, I mean, you know, to each his own, I don't judge. And if there's a, you know, way, or if there's a person that actually said, you know, hey, you know, we're in a dating scenario, I have money and you obviously do not, here is a way, or here's something to kind of put you in a better situation, because how do you look, you know, and she's driving around in a Maserati and you coming up in a Honda from the 90s, you know, gas coming out the radio and everything. That doesn't look cool. So, you know, for her, she might say, you know, well, let me go ahead and lace him with a little car. I mean, I might not be a Maserati, but I'll get him something nice so that when we go to these events, he can drive his car. And so he can have a level of confidence, you know, and not have to, like, oh, it was her ride with her little personalized license plates and everything. This is his car. So, again, I don't see the crime, but I'm sure other people do.
You know, also, when I was about 24, I was dating an on-air news anchor, and I had it. My car had, it was a Chevy with a giant spider web across the front windshield, and I had a milk crate behind the driver's seat to hold it up to stop it from falling back. And I picked her up in that, and she was on air. And she offered to buy me a car, and I said no. And she still rode in that car for a while.
Right.
And she, we took hers from now on, but I had to take her car off of it. She was very willing to spend up to $40,000 over 20 years ago at this point. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. You over there, Ted, come talk to me, man. What are your thoughts?
I am. No, you all keep going. You're doing fine. We have another. You want to bring someone else in on this, or
let me
some more questions.
Give me a second. We got. Let's try to go to area code. This is my area code. 614. 614. You're live and on the air. 614. Are you there? 614. Okay. All right. No problem. So. Let me ask you a question, Mercy. So you said that, you know, what you've done was kind of a while ago. You know, I have a saying that, you know, players don't really, you know, it's not like you don't know how to be that guy anymore. You just kind of have to make a decision that, you know what, whether I'm just kind of tired of the game, or whether I'm, you know, in a relationship now, I'm in a different lane. So what was it that, you know, kind of made you say, you know what, this is kind of not where I want to be anymore? What made you change?
Well, I never was that guy looking for anything in the first place. It was just my scenario, and I was just me doing me and my life situations that made it to where the so-called gold diggers they dropped their gold digging ways for, I guess, my, just as they were around me, then went back to being who they are when they walked out the door. Just work of responsibility. Like I said, I had an office on Warner Brothers, and always was just doing me. I mean, I still had, even after there was success, I still ran across the same type of women, but I suddenly was in relationships as well that were in like 3 and 5 year blocks. And so suddenly I was with whoever I was with. I was no longer, you know, meeting and greeting these ladies, you know, various ladies. I was in long-term relationships.
Let me ask you this. In hindsight, in looking back on it, do you think it was a scenario where they genuinely like you, or do you think, you know what, these women are actually trying to somehow be connected to me because I have the, and I don't, again, I don't know your financial situation. You may be a multimillionaire. You might make $5 an hour. I don't know. But do you think that they kind of set look at the situation and said, you know what, this guy looks like he has all the trappings of success. Let me kind of stay a little bit kind of glued to the hip to him because he might be going somewhere. Or do you think there was a situation where they genuinely liked you? And I will say this. A lot of times, you know, I tell men this all the time. For when women really like you, all those rules that they have about, well, I don't do this. I don't know when this happens. I don't know. No. All those rules go out the window. I promise you. All the rules of he's got to take me here and we don't on the first day. All the rules go out the window when they really, really like you. So what do you think the situation was? Do you think they really liked you, or do you think it was just, hey, they see the you know, kind of the outer shell and they're attracted by that?
Outer shell initially, and they genuinely liked me. I mean, some of these ladies wanted to have children, and they like me.
Okay.
Like I said, I was invited to the wedding of the woman who asked me for what size shoe I wore and what size jacket I was. 6 years later,
right.
I had a wedding because 7 years later,
wow.
Just to remain friends.
Right.
And I took my girlfriend at the time ended up doing business with her and opening up a facial clinic. So because she had newfound wealth, and she put it towards my girlfriend at the time.
What's a facial clinic? Like a dermatology?
These facials and microdermabrasions, massaging.
Okay, that's what I figured. All right. Well, you're in California.
Blair.
I don't know if you know. You get you a new face or anything. I had to ask. You know.
the women in that field are making six figures.
Yeah.
I know a lady who was making six figures doing facials out of her garage.
Right. Oh yeah. I can believe it.
That works.
Because when you're talking about some place like Los Angeles, you're talking about people who, you know, looking good is at a premium. You know, in Kentucky, you can look a certain way. You can be overweight and belly, you know, men belly hanging out, women belly hanging out, you know, skin bad, you know, hair bad. But when you're talking about Los Angeles, I mean, you know, Los Angeles, New York, Florida, you know, Miami, you're talking about places where looking good is at a premium. And you got to be in shape. You got to be, you just have to look a certain way. So I'm sure, you know, folks are, you know, lined up halfway down the block trying to get, you know, make themselves look a certain way. Absolutely.
So, Blair, I'd like to say maybe what a lot of men miss is that women are more primal than we actually give them credit for. And I've said this on the show a lot of times. So, God mercy, talk about having an apex. So I know women respond to me differently. And even still, last year, you know, if I'm wearing a nice pair of slacks and shoes, or if I'm wearing a shirt, a nice nylon shirt that form fits around my upper body, women see me very, very different than if I'm wearing a suit. And a perfect example, real situation, when I was 28, I was training to race on a bike and I had just started training, but prior to that, I had lifted a lot of weight, so I had good mass. And I met a woman. I was on a bicycle, and we talked, we exchanged numbers. And she told me, when I was dressed on a bike like those guys with Tour de France, so everything was tight-fitting. You could see every curve and muscle in my body. And she told me later that she said when she met me, she said she gave me her number because in her mind, she thought, well, I broke up with my boyfriend 11 months ago and haven't had sex. This guy, Ted Santos, looks like all he does is work out and look in a mirror, so he's probably good for sex. So he'll call me when he's ready to have sex, and I'll deal with him on a sexual level until I meet a guy who's intelligent enough to actually have a relationship with. So she was already in the mindset that she was going to have sex with me. She nicknamed me Shallow Man. That was what she called me. Oh, Shallow Man. He's going to call me. And the amazing thing, at that time, I was seriously trading stocks in the stock market with my own money. I had my own portfolio. I was reading the Wall Street Journal cover to cover every day before the market opened. And she was in law school. So she had, I guess she saw herself of being really smart. She went through an Ivy League undergrad. And I asked her, how could you think I was shallow? Because there were three current events that had like a legal and financial aspect to it. So the day I met her, I asked her about those things. We talked about it. And I said, but how would you think I was shallow when I could talk about those things? She said, I thought you got lucky and read the paper. Like, you clearly were just a shallow man. So women will have an affinity for a man and have it be about sex. But they won't tell you that. Now, she and I ended up living together for 5 years. That's why she was so open and told me everything. So I turned out to not be shallow man.
Okay. That's right.
I'm saying, I think guys sometimes miss that women, and it's not that she's a shallow woman, because the woman I'm talking about definitely wasn't shallow. She had her own career trajectory laid out, in the legal profession. But she still needed love and affection.
Right. Absolutely. Mercy, let me ask you this. I know you mentioned that you went to the wedding of one of the individuals. Do you keep in contact with the women that you've known over the years who you dated in that facet?
Well, I vacillated in and out of different long-term relationships. You lose contact until you get married, time goes on. I mean, we're talking over, a 25-year period, so it's not in contact with everyone, but I'm in contact with some. For instance, the lady who married the gentleman in Palm Desert. We're still in contact. We have mutual friends, and I'm in contact with several, but not everyone. But
okay.
Some of the ladies who some of the films took place in 05, 06, and I'm in contact with them still, and I'm in a long-term relationship currently.
Okay. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this: for the men who are listening out there, who have been following the story, we're not trying to use any sort of way of trying to be a leech or whatever, but when you meet women who come to you, I mean, because the topic of the show is we're speaking about women who are gold diggers. So the topic of the show is, can you date gold diggers while spending money on them? So what would be your answer? Do you think that there's kind of a certain something you can say to women that makes them say, you know what, I'm going to put them out down my defenses, and, this guy actually – maybe a guy that I'm not really going to try to extract money from? Or do you think it's like, don't even bother, just move to the next young lady if this woman comes and starts talking that money talk? What are your feelings on that? Mercy, that was for you. Hello, Mercy?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a helicopter. I'm outside. I didn't want it to be too loud.
That's okay. Not a problem. Okay. That's okay. So did you hear my question?
Repeat it?
Yeah. So I was saying the topic of the show is, can you date gold diggers without spending money on them? So when you meet a woman who you would potentially see as a gold digger, do you think it's – do you think it's a scenario where it's like, okay, well, this is how you kind of, you know, sidestep, you know, the whole idea of her trying to get money from you? This is how you kind of deal with those type of women? Or do you think to yourself, you know what, those type of women generally aren't really worth your time. You should try to just move on from her and find someone different. What are your, what was your, what would be your suggestion?
I mean, in general, people are people. A gold digger can be, you know, you can remove the gloves from her and make the battle over if she, you know, you put a ring on it. In reality, that's all they're looking for. Just like my friend who ended up marrying someone. You know, she in the end, she never even got her real estate license. She married a billionaire and ran off to Palm Desert.
Okay.
And so I think, in general, from the, and you don't have to be a billionaire, obviously, but someone, if one of these women actually likes you, and I'm sure a lot of gentlemen out there have experienced this, then she's taking off the gloves and she's going to have a new career.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely.
So what do you, what do you think? What do you think? A lot of women who call themselves the gold diggers, what do you think they want from men that is more important than money or gifts, or do they want both? Do they want it all?
Hold on, ambulance.
Figured it must something.
I'm in a big city, LA. Motorcycles, helicopters, fire trucks, ambulance. I mean, it's loud.
Okay. Did you hear the question?
Repeat the question, please.
Okay, sure. So, for guys, what do you think women want from a woman who is self-proclaimed gold digger? What do you think she would want from a man, like to what Blair is saying? You know, do these women really want a relationship? What do you think she would want from a man that's more important than money and gifts? Or do you think those women typically want it all? They want both. They want whatever it is that's beyond physical, material, and they want the material.
Well, in the end, they want a balance. They certainly will use and abuse the older gentleman who is, they call money bags. I've been told by some of these ladies, hey, I'm looking for money bags. And they'll use and abuse those guys. And but if they find a happy medium, someone who keeps himself together and has a, you know, great career, they jump on that. They know that's a good thing. They turn into just regular, ordinary, smart women who recognize a guy who couldn't support a family. They make what they make for as long as they can. And they, hey, everyone knows women have a clock, you know, there's a timer going. So you can't play that game, you know, your late 30s, 40s, 50s. So if you meet that guy at 28 to 35, I'm sure they're taking the gloves off and, you know, locking that down.
Okay, cool.
What is the thing that you think they want, Mercy? If you could level the playing field, if all men had exactly the same, you know, wealth, and how do you think they would differentiate, and that would be more important than money?
Well, starters, like I said, as a man, you take the lead, and I would integrate these women into my life and steer them and make them do what, yeah, I was doing, while simultaneously being successful and doing something that they wanted to do anyway, work out and be healthy.
Okay.
They want someone who's going to listen to them, care for them, and lead.
Fair enough.
All right, cool. Let me do this, because we're kind of coming down to the end of the show. Like I said, I want to get everyone out of here at 8:30, 8:30 my time. So we can, you know, for the folks, you know, a lot of the gentlemen, I'm sure, want to watch the game and everything. So The call number is 323-642-1387. I want to bring a person that was actually on the line earlier back into the line. Area code 917. 917, you're live and on the air. Ma'am?
Maybe she just wants to listen.
Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. She called back in, so I figured that that was the case. So we've got about 5 minutes left of the show and everything. Mercy, let me kind of give you the floor, and, you know, you tell us, just kind of give us your thoughts and, you know, kind of as you've been able to kind of reflect over the years, what, you know, kind of where are you now? What are your thoughts? What would you give us, some advice to men who are listening to the show? Go ahead and fire off, brother.
Hey, like I said, I'm in a long-term relationship now. In fact, the woman that I'm with now, I met her. She was just a young lady with a job in the mall. Now, with ingenuity, hard work, and she's been very successful at what she does. She went from being a financial advisor to actually owning and operating a hedge fund. That's definitely a mid nine-figure hedge fund. And I pay for all the dinners. I pay for everything. That being said, guys, just listen to the ladies. Treat them like gold. Just show them love. And more than likely, over time, they'll probably want to go 50-50 with you on some of these expenses. My lady, she's not interested in that.
Okay.
That's okay. I love her.
All right, cool. Good stuff, cool. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. We greatly appreciate it. And, you know, come back anytime. Thank you for all your comments and, you know, being transparent and, you know, just really keeping it 100 with us. So do you want to give any shout-outs or anything? I don't know, you know, what you do, but do you want to give any shout-outs to anyone or talk, you know, anyone who want to get in touch with you, you know, or whatever?
No, I'm good. I'm just, hopefully, I have some friends listening, and if not, I'll be spreading the word on the West Coast.
Okay, cool.
Hey, perfect.
Well, again,
thanks a lot.
Again, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Go ahead and enjoy your evening and hopefully get a chance to watch the game and everything, brother. You know, who are you going for? Are you going for the Warriors? I'm guessing you're going for the Warriors since you're in California. You going for the Warriors or Raptors?
I'm actually a Kawhi Leonard fan, so I called him the star his rookie year. Who is that? What's his name?
I'm sure that don't set too well in California. My God.
I was a Kawhi fan his rookie year.
Wow, good stuff. Mercy, thanks again. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, Mercy,
right, thanks. Thank you all.
Thanks for joining us. Yep, thanks for joining us.
Thank you
for sharing so much.
You got it.
Right.
To the other callers we still have on the line, is there any further? We have a little less than 2 minutes before the show is over. Is there anything that you all want to add or put out there? No?
Jeffrey, yeah, okay. I'd like to say something. This is Jeffrey in Atlanta.
Okay. All right.
I feel like this. If a young lady or a young man, if they love you or you see potential, a relationship that's going to be coming about and, you know, you see it heading towards a love situation, it's okay to spend the money and buy, you know, your significant other something, a treat, the whole thing. I grew up on the man, you know, taking the young lady out and paying for everything. But like I said before,
right.
I knew it would be nice if one day I said, I'll take you to the movies. We're going to go to Red Lobster. We're going to go out to dinner. I'm going to treat Red Lobster and you pay for the movie. That would have just knocked my socks off. And that would also let me know that she wasn't just using me. You know what I mean? She's going to come out of her pocket sometime. Sometime. You know what I'm saying? To let me know she's not just a gold digger.
So
just trying to use me.
Yep. So, Jeffrey, what you said is important. Even men want to feel wanted for who they are and needed. So that's for everyone. That's Men are human beings too, so maybe someone should write a book about that.
Definitely, wow. Definitely.
So Jeffrey, thanks for calling. Thank you for all of our listeners. Thanks for the callers. We really appreciate you for being here with us on this journey. And if you're not on our Facebook group, please jump in there and get in the conversation. It's really hot, and there's a lot of people are learning a lot.
And again, for those who weren't following at the very beginning of the show, the group is called Straight Talk. It is a chat room that we created as kind of an extension to the show. You can inbox or get in contact with myself or Ted, and we will get you in the group. It is very, very no holds barred. So for those who may be slightly, you know, who have a kind of a tendency to be slightly offended, it may not be for you. But if you are looking for some honest, very, very, very direct, bold, and honest truth about where we are as a people, just kind of where things are, and, you know, just about, you know, the history of our country and just a lot of things, please get in there, and we'll definitely have a conversation about those things. So, again, it's called Straight Talk. This is Blair Nash and Ted Santos. Ted, you want to say anything before we get out of here?
Have a good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
All right, go Raptors.
Warriors.
Yeah,
go Warriors.
Get out of here with all that. Have a great evening, everybody.
All right, guys.
Take care, everyone. Bye.